gmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to WMIE 91.5 FM, today's Modern Worship right here in beautiful Cocoa, Florida. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merit Assembly of God. We're going to spend the next half hour with you today, and we are talking from the Word of God today about forgiveness. We've been going through the Lord's Prayer as part of the Sermon on the Mount series, and right now we are talking about forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Later on, it says the measure that we forgive is going to be the measure that is used, the standard that is used in our forgiveness by our Heavenly Father. So we want to make sure that we are practicing forgiveness. And with that being said, we're going to get into the Word of God, but we do want to let you know that if you do not have a church home in Brevard County, Florida, you need one. You need to have a local church that preaches the Word of God. You need to have a local body of believers that can provoke you to good works, as the scripture says, that can encourage you and build you up in your faith, and a pastor and the body of believers who can equip you for the work of the ministry. We need more fully trained believers in Brevard County if we want to see the move of God here that I believe God wants us to have. So with that being said, we're going to go into the Word of God today. We're going to be in 1 John chapter 1. When I first went on a missions trip, when I was just 18 years old, 17 is when I signed up for it, started going to some informational meetings, and they told us, we need you to memorize several passages of scripture. We want you to memorize Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We want you to memorize Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We need you to memorize John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And they said, we want you to memorize 1 John chapter 1, verse number 9. For if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And lastly, they said, we want you to memorize Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. Those were the salvation verses that I was asked to memorize when I was 17 years old. And you know, the strange thing is, I'm not 17 anymore. I've added a few decades onto that, and I still remember those. This concept of forgiveness is something that is very important. I was having a conversation with someone last week, and they were talking about how, because a person, a person had forgiven someone, and because of that, now there was a blessing that was coming, to somebody that was in the process. And that's, there's a lot of collateral blessing. A lot of times in war, you talk about collateral damage, and bad decisions, you talk about collateral damage. But when we choose to forgive, there are exponential blessings, collateral recipients of the blessings of God that come our way. And so we need to practice forgiveness. Now, when I was away during the holidays, 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7 was the theme of the conference. I went prepared to preach in a bunch of little churches. I ended up preaching at a conference that all of those little churches ended up coming, those churches and a lot of others ended up coming to where we were at, and we were able to preach to them. It ended up being international. There were churches from not just from Fiji, but from all over the South Pacific region there. Actually, churches that had come from London. It really was something that was way bigger than what I expected. So let me take you to verse number 5, because it's going to set the stage for what we're going to talk about in verse number 9. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 5 says, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." Verse 8, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." Verse 8 begins with the word if. Verse 9 begins with the word if. Verse 10 begins with the word if. You'll find the word if in verse number 1 of chapter 2, and you will find it in verse number 3 of chapter 2 also. Verse number 1 of chapter 2 says, "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." Verse number 3, "Now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments." There's that word if means that there is a responsibility upon our part. And so if we are, by the way, verse 6 also has the word if as its first verse, and verse number 7, it's the second verse, "But if we walk in the light." There's a large amount of responsibility that is upon us. We have a part to play. It is God that has done all of the hard work, but he is looking for us to be invested in the process, participating in the process of forgiveness and repentance, of walking the way that he wants us to walk. We have choices to make. Make sure that you make a godly choice. It's very important. Choices have consequences. There's either blessings or consequences. So make the right choice. Choose to walk in obedience to the commandments. But if you blow it, don't double down on the mistake. Don't try and hide it and conceal it and all of that sort of stuff. Own it. Repent of it. Confess those things. Too many people end up exacerbating the problem if they cover up. And cover up leads to deception. It compounds the problem and makes it worse. And then you get to a point where you'd really like to go back and say, "Oh, I just wish I had confessed it and got it over." And we wouldn't be finding ourselves in the position that we're in. So first of all, it says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So we need to realize the tenuous position that we have, in that if we lean upon our flesh, we're going to sin. We're either going to sin by commission or by omission. A lot of times we get fixated on the activity of sin in that we did something that we weren't supposed to do. But the scripture also makes it clear that to him who knows to do right and doesn't do it, to him it is sin. That is the sin of omission. We have a great commission that has been handed to us, a great responsibility. We have great privilege in studying the Bible and praying. There are a lot of things. And so we need to realize that it's not because we are perfect that we have been chosen to represent God, but because God's mercy and his grace is working through us. So I'm not here to impress anybody with my perfection, nor am I here to impress anybody with my imperfections. Those are not to be gloated over. I read an article here recently about a person who they were very good at being transparent about their shortcomings and their failings. They just weren't going to do anything about it. There was some attention that they gathered just by disclosing their weaknesses. We don't want to be one that just advertises our weaknesses for advertising's sake. If the Holy Spirit reveals something to us, we need to confess that thing. So let's look at verse number 9. If we confess our sins. Now, I will tell you this. The first thing is you need to be careful who you disclose your sins to. Because there are some people who will use your disclosure as a weapon against you. So you do need to confess your sin to God. He's not going to use it as a weapon against you. You need to have faithful people around you that you can deal with those issues with. And you need to pray for your pastor. You can pray for me as well, that we have people that we can confide in and we can deal with, because we need those levels and layers of accountability as well. That's one of the reasons why I'm so thankful to be part of the Assemblies of God Fellowship, is that I have peers that I can talk to. I have a presbyter I can talk to. I have a district superintendent. I went to school with the general superintendent, the guy who's over all the Assemblies of God. I went to Bible college with him. So I'm thankful. In fact, every year I have to renew my credentials with the Assembly of God. And let me see if I have that information to where I can find it right now. I made sure that I had my my credential card when I traveled overseas. But one of the things that they do for us ministers is they put on the back of our credential card a 1-800 number where we can call that number and get help if we need help. If there's somebody that we need to talk to, it says you can contact this number and you can get the counseling. You can find help that you might need. And so I'm very thankful that they are thoughtful enough to know that sometimes ministers need help. And the bigger that a church gets, the more isolated that person can become. And so you need to pray for them, that there would be some people that they can trust, that they can talk to in an authentic and genuine manner if there's something that they need to get off their chest and get right with God. And I mean, that stuff happens. We want it to happen less, but it does happen. So it says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful. Okay? Sins do not diminish the faithfulness of God. And I'd like to just say, if you are listening to this radio broadcast and the sins of another individual have discouraged your or undermined your relationship with God, I'd just like to let you know today that God is faithful. The Bible says a faithful man who can find. Hopefully we can be found faithful. I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But if we come up short, if we have an issue, if we have a sin that we commit, we need to confess our sins because He is faithful. A lot of people don't want to talk about that forgiveness, and I certainly don't want to glorify sin. That's not the point of the confession. The point of the confession is the ownership of the issue and saying, God, forgive me. A lot of people don't realize that in the story of the prodigal son, which is in Luke chapter 15, that none of the benefits of the sonship were returned to the son who had abandoned the father, abandoned the household, abandoned his responsibility, and squandered his wealth. None of that fatted calf, the robe, the shoes, the ring, the celebration, none of that took place until he said, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight." So we can't short circuit that process. There needs to be that declaration, "Father, forgive me, for I have sinned." Now, I will tell you that the older son was going to have to apologize. He was going to have to repent to the father. And let me just say this. It's more than an apology. It is a changing of mind, a change of direction, and a change of action. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. It's not just something he does because he loves us, but because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, he is justified in forgiving us our sins and cleansing us from all unrighteousness. You see, there are a lot of people that there are times that they would respond to their kids in a more compassionate manner than they would to a stranger. And they do that because they love them, not because it's a just standard. But God is God the just. The angels will declare that he is righteous and just and true in all of his judgments. There's not going to be any bias, any respect of persons, no partiality. He operates in a just and holy manner. It is only because of the blood of Jesus. It's the only reason I'm going to heaven. It's the only reason you're going to heaven. My kids aren't going to heaven because I've made Jesus the Lord of my life. My wife isn't going to heaven because I made Jesus the Lord of my life. They're all on their way to heaven because they've made that decision and they've made that confession. And the church ought to be a place where we can come and we can make our declarations of repentance and the lordship of Jesus Christ and share our testimonies freely and be emboldened in our gatherings together so that when we go out, that we have a great deal more confidence and boldness in the work that God has done for us. I was helping my son with a project last week, and while we were dealing with an individual, and this particular individual said this is what happened here. There was something that got on this surface and we couldn't get it off. The only way was to alter the surface to get this off. And my son said, "Well, let me tell you about something that I was taught, and it involved permanent marker." And he said, "If you've got permanent marker, if you will cover that permanent marker with dry erase marker, that it will break down the permanence of that marker, and with some work, you can get that off of a particular surface." And he said, "I've seen it take place in the workplace, and it's worth trying." Well, I want you to know that the sin that I could not wash away, and the blood of an ox or a lamb could not take away, the blood of Jesus, when applied to that surface, it cleanses away that stain. I don't know how that makes you feel, but I am awfully thankful that he can cleanse us from our unrighteousness, the things that alter our right standing before God. I'm so thankful that he can get that off. A lot of times I will go to my wife. I have a a bad habit of putting pens in my pocket and forgetting to click the little button on the top of the pen like that. And many times I will put the pen that I've been using to write in my pocket, not realizing that I haven't caused the pen itself to recess inside the casing. And, you know, that just drives me a little frustrated with myself. And my wife says, well, we can put this on that and it'll take that stain out. If you're listening to me today, I want you to know that whatever your sin, whatever has altered your standing before God, you don't have to allow the devil to beat you up and condemn you over that. The Holy Spirit is actively working in your life and in my life and the lives of people throughout this community and saying the blood of Jesus can take that stain away. It not only takes the sin away, takes the penalty of sin away, takes the regret of sin away to an extent, but it restores us to our right standing before God. Now, many people want to employ 1 John chapter 1, verse number 9, when they get caught. But the real thing, the real goal of the Christian life is to not to wait for someone else to find out about it, but as soon as you realize that you've grieved the heart of God, you confess that sin. Have you ever noticed a parent that's trying to teach their child when they've done something wrong? Say you're sorry. No. Say you're sorry. No. Say you're sorry. And eventually get to the place, I'm sorry. Repentance is much more than that. Our confession of our sins is much more than that. If we want to have our sins forgiven, we need to realize that that sin has caused us to miss the mark that God had established for us. Have you ever seen a person that was genuinely disappointed because they believed the best in someone? Maybe it was a spouse that they believed in. Maybe it was their employer. And all of a sudden, the rug was ripped out from underneath them because somebody else missed the mark. I've seen that. Not only have I seen the disappointment in other people when others have fallen short of the glory of God, but I've experienced the disappointment of people who made promises to me. Not in church. They made promises to me in the business world. And then when it came time to deliver, they said, you know, pretty much they said, whoops, we were just kidding. Sorry. You know, but here's what we will do for you. Well, I don't trust you. You know, you just did Lucy and Charlie Brown. You just snatched the football right away from me. And you know, God had other plans. God had other plans. But I've seen that disappointment. We need to realize the gravity of our sin many times. It's not trivial. It grieves the heart of God when we sin. And yet, even though we have failed, He still stands there, a faithful Savior, willing to forgive, able to forgive, and longing to restore us to the right relationship that He's always wanted for us to have with Him. He is a wonderful, wonderful God. Don't miss heaven for the world. And I mean that in every sense that you can understand it. Don't miss heaven because you fall in love with this world's fame. Fame is fleeting. You can be an A-lister today and a no-lister tomorrow. You can be the most talked about person in society in a favorable light one day and the most despised in society because of, you know, how fleeting this world standards are. But I want you to know today that because of the work that Jesus did in his sinless life and on the cross, forgiveness is available today. Run to him. The devil will try and condemn you and get you to run from God because of your sin. But God is saying, would you come to me? I'm willing to forgive. Don't be like Adam who hid. I mean, think of the absurdity of that. He tried to hide from God. And God said, Adam, where are you? I'm hiding. Well, where are you going to hide from God who knows everything? You know, I want to reiterate something. The devil spends so much time trying to entice us that sinning doesn't have any consequences. And if we ever say yes and capitulate to his temptation, he will change his tune in a heartbeat, turn on you like a rabid dog, and try and beat you up and condemn you and make you feel worthless and tell you that God is so disappointed in you that there's no hope that he will ever forgive you. And I just want to remind you, he was a liar when he was tempting you, and he's a liar when he's condemning you. But you have a Savior who is faithful and just. He's the God who never changes, and he longs. He's wanting to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from our unrighteousness if we will confess them, if we will ask him to forgive us, if we will ask him to empower us, he will make it happen. Father, if there's anybody listening to my voice today and their relationship from you with you is not what it's supposed to be because of sin, Lord, I pray today that we would all confess that sin to you, ask you to forgive us, empower us so that we do not make that mistake again. Go out today, have an awesome day being led by the Spirit. God is faithful and just on your behalf. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Children.